Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Second to None podcast. My name is Blaine Gilmer, and I am here hosting Second to None by myself this episode as Tavares King is away on some business, unable to join me today, but I am going to be bringing you, as you can see on the 365 Sports YouTube channel, SEC Week 7 Reaction Monday. That's what this episode is all about, guys, and we are bringing you the news, notes, and analysis from this past week. Also, Ed Orgeron is out at LSU. Well, kind of. You know, he's now turned into an interim head coach as they are searching for their next head coach. They've talked him in somehow to staying on for the rest of the year, which is, I guess, admirable by Ed O. But, you know, Ed O's dangerous when he's an interim coach. That's when he does most of his really, really good work and you know, talks people into more oftentimes than not of him getting to get the head job. So, you know, I'm sure LSU will have a great rest of the season with that interim moniker there on attached to his name. So Ed Orgeron, why is he out at LSU? Well, the play on the field kind of speaks for itself, even though they did have a upset victory at home over the Florida Gators. And we will, trust me, we will react to that here in just a minute, because there is so much to be said about that game, even more so about Dan Mullen, I think, in my opinion, than there is Ed Orgeron. So we will see what happens there when it comes to how the Florida Gator faithful feel going forward with Dan Mullen as their head coach, Todd Grantham as their defensive coordinator. We'll get into all of that. But one thing, guys, that you seem to be able to bet on each and every week now in college football, not only the SEC, but college football in general, is you're able to bet on there being some craziness, guys. And speaking of betting, if you want to put some extra action on games, you need to make sure you're doing so with Bet Online, guys. It's back better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back for another football season. As always, Bet Online, your number one spot for all pro and college football action this season. They have a new updated website and interface, even more odds, props, and contests. Bet Online continues to be the number one source for everything football. As I'm recording this, the Braves are on over my shoulder here. If you're watching on 365 Sports YouTube channel, you can bet on baseball, all kinds of things, guys. So head on over to the website. Use your mobile device today to sign up. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use the promo code BLEAV. That's Believe to receive your bonus from football, basketball, boxing, baseball, right to the Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet Online, where the game starts. So, like I said, you can bet on some craziness, and we are going to start here with the craziness that happened in Baton Rouge. You know, guys, when you look at it, you would have thought absolutely that, you know, there was no way that LSU would be able to take care of the Florida Gators with all the injuries that they had. Kayshon Boutte is out for the year. Derek Stingley wasn't available in this game. Major Burns was out for their secondary. There was a lot of injuries. Ali Gay, on top of already having lost other defensive linemen throughout the year, a lot of holes. There was all the, you know, craziness going on around Ed Orgeron. People were debating what was going to happen in that situation. And yet the Florida Gators, who were, I think, a anywhere from 11 to 14 point favorite, depending on where you saw that spread at. I think the Bet Online had it at 11.5 at one point, may have crept up into 12. But when you talk about this, you know, when it comes to Florida, they should have been able to control this ball game. But the fact that they're more worried about wearing, you know, all orange uniforms and different things like that in this environment, and Dan Mullen's not able to have his team focused enough to stop an LSU running attack that hasn't done anything all year. And then finally they come to, you know, a point where they rush for 300 something yards on Florida. over 300 yards rushing on Florida. I mean, 321 yards rushing against the Gators, against that Todd Grantham defense, 7.1 yards per carry. Guys, this is a team that has rushed in the 50, 60 yards total for games most of the year. And you don't just – and they've had offensive line issues as well, and you don't automatically just put that together. That is a culture problem of not being able to handle an early kickoff, not being able to adjust to what other teams are doing, and it is a problem for the Florida Gators. Dan Mullen obviously is going to stand by Grantham publicly in the post-game press conference as he did, but both quarterbacks for Florida gave this game away. He had two picks each. In this game, neither one of them really looked settled in. Anthony Richardson going on after the game saying, "I'm a Florida Gator at the moment, you know, right now," type deal. Then having to go back and apologize for it on social media later and kind of say, you know, I was misunderstood, things like that. It is just not a good culture there in Florida. The Florida Gators are 4-6 since December 5th of 2020. And since that time, two of their Power 5 wins, their only two Power 5 wins come over Vandy and Tennessee. Vanderbilt is barely a Power 5 team. Tavares and I have repeatedly said they should be kicked out of the SEC, an embarrassment to the league. And those are the only teams that Florida has been able to take care of business. You know, but Dan Mullen could probably go on and say, you know, where you at, Coach Day? He could probably answer that question by saying, you know, we had more total yardage than LSU, and that would probably make him feel better. That's how Dan Mullen kind of reacts to these situations. So Florida has some big issues going forward. I don't think Dan Mullen is long for that job. And Ed Orgeron, guys, the whole reason we were starting talking about this was he's out now. Just too much. It's not just purely football, guys. Yeah, you know, 9-8 or whatever the record is over the last 2 years since they won the national championship. But who are we kidding? In large part, that's thanks to Joe Burrow. That's thanks to Joe Brady. That's thanks to Jefferson and Chase and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, all those playmakers that they had. It's not, you know, Ed Orgeron was the captain of the ship at the time, sure, but not a great X's and O's guys. And then you add in the sexual harassment scandal, the Title IX deal, Darius Geis, the way he handled that situation, knowing about it and not doing anything about it, really. Then, you know, threatening to kill people on national live radio. Just too many infractions over and over combined with bad football that he's not able to get away from. They're going to part ways. So that kind of wraps up our coverage there of Florida and LSU. Guys, another game that occurred this weekend that I found interesting was Auburn taking care of Arkansas, beating them 38-23 in Little Rock over there. And guys, Bo Nix is playing the best that he's ever played before. He was impressive to me when he played at Georgia. There's just not enough around him to compete with Georgia right now. But Mike Bobo has been good for Bo Nix. Bo Nix still is using his athleticism. He made those crazy plays against LSU. He made some crazy plays against Georgia. But he's still able to have the freedom and the ingenuity, you know, the creativity to use his legs and play that kind of back lot ball at times, but he's starting to get more and more comfortable with structured throws, both on design, moving of the pocket and inside the pocket as well. Auburn started to have some more explosivity in their offense. They had a 71-yard touchdown pass to Demetrius Robertson, and then also Javarius Johnson, 39-yard touchdown, and Bo Nix was able to just trust what he saw, go downfield, you know, set up in rhythm and make a deep strike on those throws. And, you know, that it just takes accuracy and it takes confidence in your receivers. And he's starting to build it in some of those guys. So if Auburn has some receivers, you know, start to step up and really make plays for this Mike Bobo offense, this Brian Harsin offense, I think Auburn is going to be a tough team to handle later in the year. Now, the concerns for Auburn is they gave up 460 yards of total offense to an Arkansas team who struggled mightily against Georgia to get any kind of offense. And I know that you're saying, well, Georgia's defense, I'm just saying there's the gap. There's what that makes you wonder, you know, Texas A&M been pretty good on defense this year. I mean, they've started to play a lot better. Obviously that kept them in the game against an Alabama, allowed them to make the upset of the Tide there in College Station. But Auburn, there's just too much space. They're allowing guys like Treylon, you know, Burks, Treylon Smith to catch the ball, and there's not people two and three hats there waiting on them. Speaking of Burks, guys, he is unbelievable for Arkansas. I really think he's going to be an excellent pro. You know, he's a guy who is just so physically gifted and you know, plays the game the right way. So Burks is tough to handle. But, you know, when you talk about this Arkansas team, they've had that nice start to the season. Great story. Sam Pittman is getting things kind of turned around there. He's starting to get some recruiting. You give him some more time, things are going to continue to get better in Little Rock. But they, for 2 years now, have just had a murderous schedule, guys. Just unbelievably tough schedule. And that catches up with you after a while. They're a beat-up football team from the competitive games that they have had to play. So when you look at it, overall, Auburn needs to improve team tackling, getting to the ball quicker, rallying to the ball on the defensive side of the ball. But I really like what Auburn has up offensively, and I think the Iron Bowl is going to be fun this year. I'm not saying Auburn beats Alabama, but you know, there's been worse Auburn teams, in my opinion, that have been able to do some things against Alabama. And this Alabama defense, even though they shut down Mississippi State had 300 yards passing. They don't really try to run the ball that much. You know, we'll see what ends up happening with that Alabama defense. You know, Texas A&M, Florida certainly gave them their problems throughout the earlier part of this year. So we'll see. But that's kind of my take on Auburn and Arkansas. Auburn's a team that really has a chance if they put it together defensively. They've got enough pieces, and Bo Nix is playing good enough football that Auburn could be dangerous going throughout the rest of this year, in my opinion. And then Arkansas, you know, they just need to keep doing what they're doing. KJ Jefferson, use his legs, and they'll be fine going throughout the year. It's just playing in the SEC West is hard enough as it is, and then having a crossover game like a Georgia, things like that, it's been really, really tough on Arkansas. Speaking of Georgia, guys, Georgia has beaten both Auburn and Arkansas, and then they followed up with a win over Kentucky. At the time, all three of those teams were ranked. Those are all three, in my opinion, good football teams, and Georgia made them look like not good football teams. You know, Kentucky held to 51 rushing yards. The lowest amount they had had on the year was 137 coming into that game. Chris Rodriguez was averaging well above 100 yards rushing per game, and he had 7 rushing yards on the night. You know, Will Levis made some great plays. I'm telling you, Will Levis is a good quarterback. It's going to continue to improve and get better for Kentucky during his tenure there. But Georgia really, really played a complete ball game. They had 416 total yards. Every game, there's people like to rag on Georgia's offense, guys. Every game this year, except for the Arkansas game and the Clemson game, Georgia's had over 400 yards of offense. The Arkansas game is because they literally just took the air out of the ball and they were running it at will. They had 345 yards offense. The Clemson game, JT Daniels, now that we know he was hurt, had that lat injury. Well, back then it was an oblique injury. Then it's morphed into a lat injury and has allowed Stetson Bennett to come in and not only play but thrive. In my opinion, he was 14 of 20 for 250 yards passing and 3 touchdowns yesterday against Kentucky. He didn't force anything. Third down situations, nothing's there. He throws it out of bounds. He's matured a lot at the quarterback. And for people who say Georgia's offense isn't explosive enough, well, Alabama leads the SEC with 42 plays of over 20 yards or more this year. Georgia is second with 38 plays of 20 yards or more this year. They had 9 explosive plays against Kentucky. Kentucky had given up like 6 or 7 all year going into that contest. So Very impressive. Georgia is going to be getting George Pickens back. They're going to be getting Dominic Blaylock back. They're going to be getting Arian Smith back. I saw all three of those guys getting some extra work and, you know, running around with each other before the game on Saturday. They have a bye week going into Florida. Florida, of course, it's a rivalry. Anything can happen, but I'm just telling you, if Florida is not able to stop the run any better than they did at that 321 yards they gave up to LSU, it will be a painful, painful game for Florida, because Florida's strength is running the football. Georgia's strength is stopping the run. If Florida is unable to stop Georgia's run, conversely, and Georgia's able to dominate time of possession, take long drives, put points on the board, and then Florida struggles to return the favor, it's going to get out of hand for Florida fairly quickly. Now, guys, speaking of things getting out of hand fairly quickly, the situation in Knoxville on Saturday evening got way out of hand. I'm not sure which one I'm more shocked with, the lack of awareness of the UT fans not seeming to know that they really had a chance to still win that ball game, or subsequently the lack of awareness of Joe Milton on that third down with no time left virtually, and he runs the ball out of bounds. I've not seen a situation like that since like Reggie Ball back in the Georgia Tech rivalries back in the late 90s, early 2000s, whenever that was, where Reggie Ball on fourth down just sails the ball out of bounds, throws it away when they had to have it. And I don't know what Joe Milton was thinking. It's clear why Hendon Hooker is the starter for this team. He's so consistent. Now, Hendon Hooker went off with a injury at the end of this game. It's unclear exactly what happened to Hendon Hooker. You hope it's nothing too significant, because the young man is playing some absolutely great football right now. He is so consistent for Josh Heupel, and really is that rudder that they needed to get this thing going right. He's good for anywhere from 220 to 240 yards passing every time he goes out there. He added 100 yards with his legs against Ole Miss. I will say both defenses surprised me. They stepped up and played a little bit more aggressively, a little bit more sure and soundly than I expected from these two offenses, quite frankly, from these two defenses, quite frankly. The 82 point over, I didn't see it being a problem. I was like, these guys are both going to get, 40 something points. I thought it would be a just unbelievably high scoring ball game, but it all gets overshadowed by the Tennessee fan base just acting just like absolute fools, throwing stuff onto the field, throwing stuff at the Ole Miss sideline, hitting Lane Kiffin with a golf ball. You know, it goes from Lane Kiffin, you know, being the, I guess, pseudo bad guy there in that situation, to they totally, to use a wrestling term, turned him babyface there in Knoxville. People started to feel sorry for Lane Kiffin and for the Ole Miss Rebels because of what the Tennessee fans were doing. An embarrassment. I mean, really, really an embarrassment. I think the tweet of the day was Justin Rowland, who covers Kentucky for Rivals, said that the SEC, if they were really serious about it, they should punish them by making them do all 11 o'clock kickoffs, 11 o'clock in the morning kickoffs for like the next several years. I thought that was a great tweet. Unbelievable, way to have some humor about the situation. But really, guys, there was nothing funny about that Tennessee situation. Luckily, nobody that we know of got seriously hurt by that. There were cheerleaders, there were fans, there were band members, there were players, there were coaches that all got hit with different debris and things like that. Things like full mustard bottles being thrown on the field, golf balls. I mean, you name it. It was all being thrown onto the field, and that's just a dangerous situation anytime that happens. So, you know, the SEC is going to bring down some repercussions on that. But in terms of Tennessee, you know, they only allowed they allowed 279 yards rushing. Well, 195 of those yards came to the legs of Matt Corral. Matt Corral is a bona fide Heisman candidate, guys. 195 yards rushing, well over 200 passing. He balled out. He played great. But that's encouraging for Tennessee, because, like, when you go to this next matchup, they didn't hardly give up any rushing yards to the running backs. It was all at the quarterback position, that extra player that's kind of unaccounted for at times by defenses. And then when you talk about that Bryce Young in Alabama, I'm nowhere in the realm of getting ready to put in a prediction for that game or say that Tennessee's going to beat Alabama, especially on the road and stuff like that. But what I will say is Bryce Young is nowhere near as athletic as Matt Corral in terms of being a runner first type player. He is not going to take off and burn you. I think a 15-yard run this past week was his longest run of the year. He's nowhere near as physical as Matt Corral is when he runs the football either. So I'm going to say that Tennessee's defense has a better matchup against Alabama and their run game and their quarterback run situation than they did against Ole Miss. Now, can Tennessee move the ball, especially if Hendon Hooker is hurt? We'll see what the situation is there. We'll have full previews of that, guys, coming up later this week. So make sure that you subscribe, turn on notifications, and that you're subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen, Second to None. TK will be back with me for our Wednesday episode as we're going to break down Alabama, Tennessee. We're going to break down LSU, Ole Miss. It's going to be some fun stuff. We really appreciate a lot of recruiting stuff going on. We'll touch on some recruiting, some potential flips coming up, especially University of Georgia. Guys, they are not only are they the number one team in the country this year, but they are working on building an unbelievable recruiting class that could end up being the Kirby Smart's fourth number one recruiting class in the last 5 years. So we will see what happens with all that. We'll talk some recruiting. We'll talk some previews. We'll talk the top players of the past week, everything. But guys, the reaction Monday episode is now complete. We've kind of talked about all the highlights here. Hope you enjoyed it. I hope that you'll give us a review on either Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Hit the like button on here. Like I said, subscribe, and I will catch you next time with my partner, Tavares King, next time on the Second to None podcast.